This passage of Scripture is about using our lips with our faith. Using our lips with our faith. The Christian faith is a private thing, but it's a public thing too. It's a personal thing, but it's an internal thing that we say it's inside of our hearts. But it's also something we express. Our faith is to be expressed. It's like you ask Christ into your heart, but then what is the next step? It's called baptism. Baptism is actually external. It's something visible. People can see it. It's an action, an activity of what we do with our bodies. And when we put our faith in Christ, it's something that God doesn't want us to keep to ourselves. He wants us to share with others that we have received Jesus. So let's read this verse that I started out with, the prelude. I'm going to read it again. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. If Jesus lives in our hearts, He also wants to live on our lips. If Jesus is alive in here, He wants us in our mouth. He wants us to be talking about Him. And we're not alone. When we share about Jesus, we're not alone. It's through Jesus that we do this. Through Jesus, we are born again. But it's also through Jesus that we share our testimony of Him. The apostles were fearful before the day of Pentecost, before the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit filled their hearts and they began to overflow with Jesus. They overflow with the message of Christ. And they were bold and fearless in their witness. Scripture describes the people of God, His believers, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, a kingdom of priests. We're to be a kingdom of priests. And Jesus is our high priest. And we have sacrifices to make, just like they had in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus took care of the sin sacrifices. In other words, He fulfilled the sin sacrifices of the Old Testament that the Old Testament priests were making. But there's some other sacrifices in the Old Testament that we fulfill. There's the shalom sacrifice, the peace offerings. And there's the free will offerings, the fellowship offerings. All of those offerings were, people didn't have to do them, but they wanted to do them. And it was, whenever they had those offerings, it says, it was a pleasing aroma. It was a pleasing aroma to the Lord by fire. It was a tangible form of worship. And it was not just something in their hearts. They actually had it in their hearts, but it became tangible in the form of a sacrifice, an offering that was offered up to God. And God wants us to still be that kingdom of priests, offering those sacrifices. And many times it's a sacrifice for us to do something external with our faith, like make it the fruit of lips that confess His name. So Old Testament worship requires some effort, and today's worship of Christ also requires some effort, but we have Christ's help. Through Jesus, let us offer up this sacrifice of praise to others. And He helps us. What He helps us do is to turn our faith in our hearts into the fruit of our lips that confess His name. And how do we do that? How do we turn our heart's testimony into our heart's treasures into a testimony? Say, I treasure this in my heart. How do I share that treasure with other people? Well, confessing Christ is how we became Christians. Romans 10 and 9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, it's interesting the order that this is written. The order is the mouth, and then the next is the heart. And that's not because the heart is not important, but God really concentrates, He puts an emphasis in salvation on communication. God is a communicator. Christ is called what? The Word. He's God's divine communication to us. He is the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through Him. The Word. God is big on communication. He really wants us to be big on communication. So He starts out, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart. You say, well, doesn't the heart come first? In a sense, it does. But the big important point that God wants to make is it needs to be shared. Sharing God's truth. He shares truth. He wants us to share truth. Confessing our faith in God is an ongoing verification of our faith. It's something God wants us to do, not just one time when we accept Christ into our hearts, but the rest of our lives, to make it an ongoing verification, validation that I have faith. I have faith. And how do I show it? I'm telling you about it. I'm telling you about this faith. So here's what it says in Scripture. And some people are a little scared of this. Here's what it says in Matthew 10. Jesus says this, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. You see, Jesus didn't do a superficial thing on the cross. It was serious business. It was a serious spiritual business transaction. And He expects that our faith will not be superficial faith, but really deep, real faith. Faith that is transferred from our hearts to our mouths. It's not a threat, this idea of Christ will deny us before the Father. It's not to be a threat. It's to test, is my faith real? And, you know, I think Peter had to find that out, because he did deny Christ in front of people. And he had to find out that's not the way. That's not the way to be a Christian, to deny Christ in front of people. And he had to learn. So if Peter had to learn it, we have to learn it too. And if we make some mistakes, well, Peter was forgiven, but he was called to a higher calling, and that was to confess Jesus. And he did too, when the power of the Spirit came upon him. And as we grow in our faith relationship with Christ, and we spend more time with Him in prayer and in reading His Word and following His guidance, our minds become more focused on Him. It's our focus becomes on Christ, and our focus will overflow to others when we're talking to others in our conversation with those we meet. We'll think more about Christ because He's what we've been thinking about all day long. So that's going to be part of our conversation, maybe the most important part. So in most conversations, people talk about what they've been doing. They talk about what they've been learning or what they're interested in. And if these are the things that we've been doing, we've been thinking about our journey with Jesus, if that's what we've been wrapped up in, then all of these things, what we're learning, what we're doing, what we're interested in, all of those things of normal conversation are turned over to, this is about me. This is about my journey, about what I'm interested in, what I've been learning, what I've been doing with my life. And you begin to share naturally about Jesus because He's become such an important part of your life. Well, as we get into these normal conversations, we have to really be listening. We can't just start, oh, I got to tell somebody I've got you. I want to. And you start shaking by a cop. I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about Jesus. Oh, boy, that'll drive them away. They'll say, what? Here's a fanatic. Woo! And they don't want to have anything to do with you. But what's really important is for us to listen to the stories that others have to tell. I'll tell you something. Sometimes when you are listening to the story that others have to tell, it will tell you how you're to tell your story about Christ. because there might be something in their story that will give an indication, oh, this is what I need to share with them about what Jesus did for me, because He can do it for them. You know? So we have to be good listeners, and then we also have to be real. If we have treasures in our hearts, we need to turn those treasures into testimonies. We don't need to be hoarding our treasure for ourselves. We're supposed to share it with others. It's supposed to overflow in our conversations about our faith journey. They're telling us about their journey. They're interested in politics. They're interested in this. They're interested in that. What are we interested in? Do they want to hear? Well, let me tell you what I'm interested in and what God has been doing in my life and what He can do in your life too. Because you told me about that. When I have a problem like that, I pray this or I go to this scripture, and you might be able to share that way. Well, we can multiply the blessings that God brings into our lives when we share them with other people. Because God has been doing a lot of things in our life. And this second verse is about generosity of sharing. Generosity is the focus of verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. This sharing is about giving from what we have as an abundance, because we've been spending time with God. We have an abundance of these blessings, and we're giving to the needy when we share those. We're giving to those who are in need. But it's especially, you know, it's about generosity. It means maybe you need to share something with them, food or what. I don't know. It could be a lot of things they need. But it has to do in this passage with verbal sharing. That's what the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips, is. And that's what is the kind of sacrifices that pleases God, is when we share the fruit of our lips with others, the testimonies in our hearts. And when God has done something good that has impacted our lives, we can multiply that impact by sharing it with others. It will bless them. It can bless them as well. That's a multiplication of our blessings. I want to read this prayer that Paul prays for the Roman believers in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Here's a prayer that he makes. It's really cool. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is important. God gives you joy and peace in your heart. Those are blessings. But the Holy Spirit makes those blessings turn into an overflow. It's not just going to stay with you. It's going to flow over to others. And that hope that is in your heart because of that joy and blessing is going to bless others. You know, some people, they're a little short on hope. Their hope may need a lift. And you might be the person that gives the lift by sharing your blessings that God has laid on your hearts, so that He causes your hope to overflow into their lives. And our sharing delights Jesus. Jesus is happy about it when we share these blessings with others. He doesn't want them to keep them to ourselves and be selfish. He wants us to share with others and bless other people and be generous. And it delights Him because He gets to be a part of it. You know, Jesus dwells in each one of us, in our hearts. But He also wants to speak through each one of us to others. You know, Jesus is not done. They tried to stop Jesus. They tried to stop His sharing. They tried to put Him to death and stop it. But what did He do? He multiplied it in our voices. And now Jesus, when I was preaching through the book of Acts, and I'm really not done, I'm going to go back to it at some point, but when I was preaching through the book of Acts, that's the theme. Jesus is not done yet. He's got lots of stuff He wants to do, and guess who He's going to do it through? He's going to do it through His people. He's going to do it through us. So we have to be ready and ready to do what He wants to do and to please Him through this. You know, He has been multiplying His blessings to others. And here's the nice thing. If If you have a blessing that you're talking with someone and you have a blessing and it's in your heart, they don't know anything about it. And they may be very, very depressed because they don't have any hope. But when you share that blessing, it multiplies your blessing. And here's what can happen. They may say, wow, that's interesting. And the next time they talk with someone, they say, you know, somebody shared something with me. And they share that same blessing that you shared with them. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know that happened. We won't know those kinds of things until we get to heaven. And they'll say, hey, guess what? Your blessing blessed me. Said, I don't even know you. Said, no, you don't know me. But so-and-so told so-and-so, and so-and-so told me. And that's how I got that blessing from you. And you don't even know about it. Or here's another thing I shared in the other service. You may have something God did in your life 50 years ago, and it's buried in your past. Nobody's enjoying it. You haven't even thought about it for a long time. But the Holy Spirit can bring it to your mind while you're in a conversation with somebody. And you can say, oh, just that's 50 years ago. Put it back down there. No. God is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. You know? And it's like He's probably, through the Holy Spirit, giving you a reminder of what He did 50 years ago. You take that blessing and say, let me tell you about what God did for me 50 years ago when I was praying. And then, guess what? That buried blessing is resurrected. And it's multiplied again. And it starts blessing other people. Isn't that wonderful? It's all about the fruit of lips that confess His name. So when Jesus lives in our hearts, He also wants to live on our lips. In a special way, He promises His presence when we meet together. It says, where two or three come together in my name, I am there in the midst. But He also indwells each one of us. His presence goes with us wherever we go. And He promises to be with us when we are out, not just at church. Because when we meet together, we know Christ is present. He promises to be here. But He promises to be when we're dispersed throughout the week, wherever we go, even if it's just back to our room, where all we meet are some few visitors during the week maybe, and then maybe the attendants, and there's three sets of attendants because they have three shifts, and we see new ones come on other days. We get to see a lot of people, and we can share blessings with them if God prompts us to do that, and it brings that thing to our mind. And here's what He says. He'll be with us when we go out or disperse with the gospel on our lips. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I am with you always. So He promises to be with us when we're gathered, and He promises to be with us when we're dispersed. We don't have to worry. He's always with us, right? And so that's what we need to think about. He's with us, not just in church, but wherever we are, He's with us. Especially, He likes to hear us when He's present with us, sharing about Him. So always remember, it makes God happy to hear us share our testimony of faith in Christ with others. He's blessed our lives, and He's blessed them in so many ways, and when we share our stories of those blessings, it will multiply them, and it will even more greatly strengthen our own faith. It will. Because as you share, your faith is strengthened as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your Word. And that's so important in our lives. We thank You for prayer. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit that helps us, through Jesus, to confess His name to others. And to make a sacrifice of praise by sharing how You have blessed us and giving our testimony, the treasures in our hearts, to other people, being generous with our lips of sharing the blessings that You have shared with us. Help us to be those kinds of Christians and help us to grow in our faith in that kind of a way, a verbal sharing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.